I was in disbelief that just that one thing could have helped me that much.
Welcome to the Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast, where we focus on health, wellness, and overcoming all types of addictions. You're in the right place if you're a mom, dad, friend, sibling, or caregiver who has a loved one who is or was struggling with an eating disorder or any other kind of addiction. In a time when everything seems heavy, I'm here to bring you a real yet lighthearted take on what the heck we are all supposed to do with our lives while we care for our loved ones who are struggling. One thing holds true throughout it all. You can't juggle the chaos without smiling, at least a little bit. Well, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Moira Gorski. This is Juggling the Chaos of Recovery. So glad that you've come back to listen today and continue to come back time after time. Today, I'm bringing you another one of my friends whom I'm always thrilled for these days. And certainly this day is a special day for me. Debbie, who we're going to be talking with today, is someone that I met, I don't know, many years ago, as I started to attend some yoga classes at my local, the local health club that I was a part of. She was a wonderful instructor, and then she left, but she didn't go very far. She did open a yoga studio in town, and I have come to love her studio, to love Debbie, and as I've gotten to know her, and I want her to share with you today as we get started. Well, let me introduce her first, and then we'll just start the conversation. Debbie Russo, who's coming with us today, is a co-founder of Next Yoga, a leading yoga studio and yoga teacher training school in Wheaton, Illinois, as well as Elmhurst, Illinois. Debbie served as a vice president of major Chicagoland company and has owned and sold several successful businesses, her last being a senior care company. Debbie decided to follow her passion and belief that everyone should practice yoga and open Next Yoga with her daughter, Lauren Duncan. Debbie, are you there?
There I am.
There you are. There you are. Right. Yeah. Thank you for joining us. Debbie's enjoying some sun in Arizona here. So thank you for joining us today. Yeah. So tell us a little bit how you found your way to yoga in your life.
I found my way to yoga after I was born with Crohn's disease. So lived my entire life with that and did very well. You know, you do what you can and you think that's the best you can do. And I stumbled into a yoga class at the health center that we both belong to. And honestly, in just that first hour, probably just through pranayama and breath, it really changed my life and how I feel. And after that, I just continually went and wanted to figure out why I felt so good. And that was long ago and far away, pre-Google, that you couldn't really research that kind of thing. So I ended up going through teacher training and doing a bunch of kind of workshops and discovery of different yoga learnings when they would come in town. And it just fell in love with the fact that I knew that I felt better after 40 years of just kind of maintaining and thought, boy, if that makes me feel that great, I should offer that up to everybody. And so there, I ended up opening a studio just from that one belief that it just can heal a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did an interview with a gal last week, and I'm not sure when that'll come out compared to this, but she talked about that. Again, she had struggles. Somebody told her about yoga, and that one day at that yoga studio, she felt like her mind cleared. Yeah. And she finally could.
It is amazing. I mean, it's amazing. If you have, especially someone, like if you're holding on to a lot, either physically, right, there's a physical ailment or autoimmune disease or something just so mental, it's just kind of, you can't let go of, or something going on in your life. It is amazing that through one session, and it has nothing to do with balance, right? Because I do remember laughing in the middle of it, thinking, how is this possible? I can't do any of it. But that is irrelevant, you know, in hindsight. Mm-hmm. It's really just being able to breathe and focus and releasing your mind and just kind of your body, that it was amazing. My body felt better immediately, which after 40 years of having Crohn's, and again, you know, living a normal life, but, you know, with Crohn's, with all the symptoms, I was in disbelief that just that one thing could have helped me that much. But I do believe that, which is why I continually do it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And I love that you've, you know, because that helped you, you wanted to help others. You know, you shared with me that you had a daughter who struggled with some of the similar thoughts and ideas that my daughter has and does struggle with. And so I thought today I really wanted you to share kind of, because that's part of the reason for this podcast is my perspective as a mother with someone who struggled with an eating disorder and addiction, you know, our perspective, because it's right. It's a scary place to be. So I'd love for you to kind of share that part of the story of you as a mom and as your daughter started to struggle. And
sure, I'd be happy to. It is so important. I think you hit on the head to share your perspective as a mother, because that largely depends on what we went through, right? And having heard your story personally, and now, you know, obviously raising your daughter, you know, my perspective is so different because I went through something entirely different. Well, that's where we kind of struggle. I felt like that's where I was struggling with what do I do when faced with this, you know, with someone with Crohn's disease, like I have, we eat as much as possible in order to maintain our weight, you know, and really it's not a matter of if you think you're fat or not fat or thin or skinny or look good, because we're just really trying to maintain weight. So when my daughter had first kind of come up with this mentioning that she thought she was fat or she didn't look good, and really becoming angry and frustrated over kind of self-imagery, right? And of course, I think she was beautiful at that moment. And she was, right? She certainly was, but she didn't see that. The point is she didn't see that. So at first, because of my experience, I didn't think much of it other than it's just kind of, this is what girls maybe go through. And so I kind of treated it as such until I started noticing things that maybe I wasn't paying enough attention to, or I needed to maybe figure out what she needed, because she was started to eat, kind of hide eating, you know, she would hide and eat, or she would stand and eat like right at the pantry versus like get a bowl out, which I remember someone had mentioned along the way that was kind of a sign of someone like pretending they're not eating though they're eating, you know, when they're just like putting their hand in a bag of chips by the pantry. And at that moment, I thought, okay, this is probably a little bit bigger than just, you know, me telling her she's great. So I decided, based on what she was telling me, I struggled with as a mom, do I go the route of we need to see somebody, you need to see somebody? And my fear was, now am I going to put something in her head that's maybe not quite there yet? Or am I doing her a disservice by not doing that? And I really struggled with that because, again, I hadn't gone through anything like this before. And I didn't really know anybody who had an eating disorder, fat and fat's what it was, or just kind of self-imagery issue. I decided that really it was more like information, like she needed information because she was an athlete. She worked out, but for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because so much in her head, she's definitely a perfectionist, which is a problem sometimes. A wonderful person to be, there's no doubt about it, but letting go of everything being perfect, I think was a big struggle for her as well. So I tried to, at that time I was doing a lot of yoga personally, and I know how much it had helped me. I tried to veer her in that direction because I know when she would work out or run, she's a runner, she would feel better. She resisted, you know, at first, as most high schoolers do to their parents or their mom. When I finally mentioned she should go to a hot yoga studio at that time, Bikram was the only thing around. It was pretty competitive, really hot. She went and she really enjoyed it. She would never have told me that, but she kept going back. So that's the only really reason I know she did. And I think it was because she'll say now in hindsight, it's because she was able to release her mind, to release those negative thoughts. Back then, she would say that it was a competitive experience. And so she loved it because she can, you know, it was almost like a running or getting to the finish line or something like that. And that's a high schooler's brain. Versus now, she's graduated college 6 years ago, so much older, and my business partner. But after finding yoga, she went off to college, went in Boulder, joined a studio, went through teacher training, and just was really found a group of friends that were going through stuff, and maybe not the exact same thing, but just stuff, and realizing the benefit of that practice, being able to help her, and then being able to dive into why did she have good days and then bad days. Mm-hmm. She had been discovered through a whole bunch of holistic testing that she is allergic to a lot of things. There's some things that she eats that just from a hormonal standpoint is very difficult for her to regulate. So that was like the catalyst for her to figure out why she felt more moody, which when we don't feel good, then we think we're not pretty or that we should eat less, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it was a combination of a lot of things, but it was really difficult on me because the challenge for me as a mom was, where do I go with it? Because I didn't know. I didn't have that information to know what I should do, because you struggle. My struggle was, if I take it right into, like, let's be a therapist, right? Are you putting something in her mind that's not there?
Mm-hmm.
Or, being in high school, they just don't want to really listen to you at that moment. So it was really like walking over hot coals and trying to just kind of recommend her do one thing or another. Now, wonderful. I mean, she's 27 years old, really into physical fitness, always has been, but still, she is aware and she knows her body so much. And I think that came through practice and through education about what she's allergic to and what food she can tolerate. Is she does know that if she doesn't work out or she doesn't empty her brain, whether that's lifting weights or running or yoga, because she does all of them, then she'll start going into that dark rabbit hole that we mm-hmm. go to, right? And in that hole, it could be self-imagery in terms of you don't feel good or you don't want to eat anymore, or it could be depression. And there's a lot of things in that mm-hmm. hole, right, mm-hmm. that we can all get to. And it's really, how do we climb out of it? And as a mom, how do we help our children climb out of it without thinking we're going to push them further down? And that was my struggle at that time.
Well, and I really understand that, because I remember when my daughter first started to struggle and we became aware of her struggle, that's it. I mean, I'm going to help you, and we're just going to do things, perhaps naturally, and maybe we will find you, somebody to talk to. And, I didn't even think about a treatment center and, those kind of things. And I remember somebody mentioning that. And I've also seen that experience with my daughter being in different centers. It's almost like sometimes they learn things that you're like, you don't want them to learn. I mean, they have their story, their behaviors, and then they go to these treatment places or again, a therapist or maybe a support group. And then they start to hear other stories, and these addictions and eating disorders are so competitive. And then they start... Right. Anna would come home and say, and I'd ask her how that support group was. And she said, well, I mean, it almost sounded like they were competing to see who could be the sickest,
Right.
Instead of.
And that's the hardest part is I ended up kind of learning to say, what can I do for you? Like, what do you need me to do? I'm mm-hmm. here for you. What can I do for you? Mm-hmm. Because I didn't know. I mean, I knew there were all these things out there, but how far do you take it? And I have also learned not to compare my story with her story, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think we want to do as a mom. Like, we've gone through something. And so, we want to be like, and this is how you fix it. Well, they're a different person, mm-hmm. right? And we're very, very different people. Her being such a perfectionist and me being way more laid back. I handle things or things will bounce off of me that obviously won't bounce off of her. So they are a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to recognize that is a big deal to her. Those are real issues that she's dealing with, as minimal as it would seem to me, it's not to her. So I've learned to pause and not just offer up or react, right? To react and just say something back. I've really learned to pause and say, how can I help you with that? Or maybe just nod and listen. As moms, we want to fix. Like, that's what we do.
Right. I mean, you're speaking to me, and I'm like, yeah, I have done that so much, and I know I've done it way too much. And just speaking with my daughter yesterday, it got me thinking. I'm like, wow, I was thinking this. Wow, I am in a different space. I'm not just, okay, how about this? How about you try this? Or like you said, well, when I went through that, or when I had that, because boy, I've done that so many times. And as much as we, again, as moms, because we feel like we're the experts, and we certainly are, right? We're experts by, because we're older, and I've certainly call myself an expert from experience, right? Of having my own eating disorder. And, you know, you feel like you're an expert, but like you said, it's their story. It's their experience. And we need to let them make their own choices and experience it, as opposed to always, like you said, trying to fix it and jump in and give our advice.
Right. You know, and of course we do. And don't you remember, I always really try and think about when I was a younger child and how I would receive information from my mother, you know? And so then you try to like pause a little bit, but on the other hand, we're business women, right? We have a lot of things going on. We raise our children, we have jobs or companies, and you want to be able to just jump in and help, or like, even if it's getting information on treatment or getting information for a therapist, you're like, we've got this, let's do it, versus just kind of pause. I really learned a lot being a mom. When Lauren is my third child, I had raised two boys prior to her, and my boys were different. Right. And they didn't require a lot from me. You know, they just didn't. When Lauren was going through this, it was a very challenging experience for me, because I just didn't, I didn't realize, after I tried many years to just fix things, you know, realize that I had to pause and allow her to try and find that kind of solution. What would help her be able to clear her head, to realize, you know, from a self-image standpoint, what a wonderful, amazing person she was. And she found it. And that's not to say it was that easy, right? Because it wasn't. She'd already lifted weights. She'd already was a runner. She was already an athlete. But it really, for her, it was this practice of yoga that allowed her to just be able to clear her head, so that she could go further in self-discovery of, you know, recognition. We always say recognition is the first step to recovery, right? And it's a long journey. But you have to recognize that there's something, right, that you're dealing with. And so it's really allowed her to, and she continues to, I mean, her diet is pretty, is very regimented in terms of what she puts in her body, only because she knows she has to be healthier to feel better. Mm-hmm. It's not that she won't eat a donut. Of course she will. But she knows that if that's all she was eating, her brain would not be in a good place. Her head wouldn't be in a good place. Yeah. So she's kind of been able to find that. But, and I'm thankful for that. Because if she didn't find that, even though we mature, we become adults, we become moms like you and I, if you don't find that, then you always have that in your head, you know, that kind of you're less than, or you can do better, you can do more. And I think you and I were talking before, that's why self-care is so important and so low on our totem pole between having a company or working or, you know, raising your children, feeding the dogs, et cetera. We're like way on the bottom, and conversely, we should be way on the top. I mean, how do we take care of all these people without being the healthiest person that we can be? And that's just, I feel like, I call that mother's guilt syndrome, right? Like we feel so guilty when we put ourselves at the top, but it's not as though we're treating ourselves to pedicures every week. It's just more about, you know, allowing us to take that hour to do whatever physical exercise or meditation or whatever it is that does it for your brain, to be able to find that hour for yourself so that you can learn to not react and not fix. Which is a struggle.
Right. You know? Well, yeah. And thankfully somebody really, I mean, many people told me that in, you know, 3 years ago when my health wasn't doing so good, and said, you know, you got to take care of yourself. And I was raised by wonderful parents, and you know, a mother who's very strong and very independent. Yeah. And so I learned from her that you don't have to ask for help, because you can do it. Right. And so she created a strong woman in me, and I love her for that, but I also didn't ask for help. But I learned that also asking for support or help or getting some of that can be merely going to an hour yoga and saying, you know what, I'm going, you know, dinner's on the table, or get up, you know me, I would show up real early at the yoga studio, you know, doing those kind of things is getting help. And it doesn't mean we're less than, it means that we are showing ourselves that we're important, that we need to do that. And we found something like you have, and like Lauren has, we found things that fill us up and make us feel whole. And, or again, as you've experienced with me, or I've experienced with you, times that we can just let it out, and that I've cried and you've come over and rubbed my back during a yoga class because the yoga has released that. And afterwards you feel so much, much better.
And that's why what you're doing right now, Moira, is so amazing, because, you know, yeah, it's awesome when you give yourself that hour to clear your head and think and cry and just release. And sometimes we're crying, we don't know why, and that's okay. That's in fact more okay, because there's probably stuff in there that's so old. But also then to be able to talk about it, you know, to have these kind of podcasts that you have, because that's an amazing release too, from one parent to another, you know, two totally different situations or you know, that we went through as children, you and I, you know, as young adults, and then obviously some totally different daughters going through similar things but different. And it's just to not beat yourself up, you know, like, how do you, especially, I was raised by a very strong, independent mother as well. My father had passed away, so she raised all of us on her own. God love her. But that is what made me me. And in that same vein, I have never asked for help for anything. You just do it. But in not asking for help, sometimes we just stuff things, right? You know, it's not that we're even managing them ourselves. We just decided, okay, I'm not going to worry about that now, you know, or that's kind of like, we fixed that problem. We don't have to tell anybody about it, right? That's kind of the, my parents' generation thing, right? Don't tell anybody about it. And that's not healthy. It's not healthy.
Or you talk about... Yeah. I mean, I told people, I'm like, we just didn't talk about the bad stuff, right? Everything was good. And that ain't so good, because I found that then you didn't know how to talk about the bad things. You didn't know how to bring them up. You just felt like perhaps there shouldn't be the bad things. Or like you said, when they happened, you kind of stuffed them away, or, you know, it just, again, you, at least in my case, I didn't know how to work through them. And I needed you know, I needed to learn how to work, because everything's not great, right? And so you need to know how to work through the things that aren't so,
it's so important for us to even teach our children that now more than ever, because of social media. You know, we were talking about how when we went to school, we go home and at least we could shut the door on the high school world or experience that we were having, negative or self-image or whatever it was, you know, at that time. But now our children can't shut that door. It's a 24-hour, you know, open experience of peer pressure and being excluded or included or whatever it is, that you have this, that they're comparing themselves to other people's lives. And that's not even to say that us as adults don't do that, because we have the same access to social media, but we also don't have 14-year-old minds anymore. Thank God.
Right.
But you know what I mean?
Thank God.
But can you imagine? So I think that's why it's so important now, being a mom now, probably even so much different, a younger mom than you and I, when we were raising our kids a little younger, to be able to tell them just to express frustration, express it, you know, ask them, you know, what can I do? How can I help you? Because they have to be able to get it out, hopefully an exercise, something, a sport, or just being able to talk about it, because they, I think, will experience more of what we just talked about than even our children did without. I mean, I think that like Facebook and all that kind of came out like right when my daughter was like a senior in high school. So it wasn't totally, you know, in her mind for 24/7 like it is for the children now.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, because I have, you know, four children and they're a little younger than your children, but I saw that with the oldest one when he was in high school, and now with my youngest one in high school, like the difference in You know, because again, Facebook was just kind of coming into play and all the kids were on that and we weren't really, I wasn't really on that much. And that's how they learned, you know, they learned some things, but now it's like we were talking about earlier, like who knows what it's YouTube and Snapchat and all the TikTok and whatever the heck it is all. And again, I find that, you know, again, because we're a very similar age, you know, we would come, I would come home and if I had to process something, my mom was there. I mean, she was able to be home and raise her children. And so I could talk to her about it. Now, if a girlfriend called, you know, I had to pull the phone into the other room with the cord and it couldn't be on very long because she knew that. And she'd tell me to get off the phone or pick up the other line. And tell me, but then it's like, hey, how's it going with Mary? And what did she have to say? And so we could process that. You know, we talked about that with my my mom. We don't know that with our kids these days. You know, with my daughter, you know, that's, again, we were just talking about it yesterday. I mean, that's how I kind of discovered that she was having some struggles as I, you know, as we were out to dinner, I saw some behaviors that, you know, triggered in me. Got me thinking, but then I picked up her phone when she was in the bathroom and I looked at some correspondence she had there. And, but again, I didn't know because she was going through an awful lot at that time, but I didn't know as a mom. And you do feel kind of helpless as I started to learn, like, wow, I wish I knew. Even she shared stuff with me the last time I talked with her. And I'm like, about middle school. And I said, I wish I would have known. I wish you felt comfortable to share or, I wish I knew because then I could try to help, But I think that that's the issue.
I agree, especially like Maria, because my youngest is just went to college this year, so she's on the a lot younger than my other kids. That same similar thing happened because she is born in the social media experience, right? Mm-hmm. She's just like had that phone at an early age, and she's on every form known to man. But she's also an open book. And always has been. And so I think really the value for what we should do now as our kids are younger is really be able to have that close-knit community amongst other mothers. Because there are some children, my daughter, my youngest daughter being that one, completely opposite of my older daughter, is the one who will tell you everything. Mm-hmm. And not only everything about her, but really in a concerning way, everything about maybe what her friends are going through. And then I could then relay that to their mom. You know what I mean? So like, like, how do you, I feel like we can't be private anymore. Like, how else do we get this information? You know, I used to drive in carpool. I'd drive everybody home from volleyball and they would talk. But then when they all had phones, they were all just texting each other in the car. Like, all in the car.
I know.
You know, so you knew you were way out of the trust circle at that point. So when you do hear something, I always would say to my daughter, you know, if this were you, I would want to know. If it's like that, if it's really something that we can help this individual with, your friend, we should be able to help, you know, versus, you know, just whatever. Secret or, you know, whatever. So that's, I feel like the only way you can do it now, because if you're not being told, you and I know that, you know, like, it's little things happen that make you just kind of intuitively question what's my daughter going through right now. Because they're not exactly just telling you.
And that's, I encourage people, whoever's listening, if they, if you think your child is struggling and if you have those intuitive hits, because I had a few of those and one of my sons came home from high school and told me something that one of his friends had said about what he observed about my daughter. And again, they started to all kind of come together. And then again, there was that feeling. So I really encourage people to, if you're getting those, then again, say something, because I always, I also feel like that I, that it was like my daughter was keeping a secret and she was to a certain extent, really happy that I actually said something, you know, because she could, you know, kind of, she could get it. She could, again, open herself up and relax a little bit and get some help. So, you know, it's so, it was such a secret up until then. Do you feel like, was there something that, that helped you throughout these years, like, you know, besides yoga, but, you know, any books or courses or meditation or, you know, I love books. And so I always ask my podcast people if they have any books for anything, again, that really helped you besides that yoga.
Yeah, I hate to say that I read so much more now that I'm an empty nester, which is wonderful. But at that time, I didn't, you know, it wasn't more business related, right? I didn't give myself that self-care that I probably should have at that moment. But I always did try to meditate in a different form. Like, meditation comes in all different forms. It could be gardening. It could be whatever your doing a puzzle, like whatever your passion is, that just allows your mind to kind of be free. Mine has always been, I took a lot of baths. I just made a lot of baths because it just like sends that signal for me to just be able to breathe. Right? To just, you know, what can give you 5 minutes, you know, 15 minutes of just relaxing your mind so that you can tackle the same stuff that is there in maybe just a different way, versus having it spin in your head. So even before I'd ever found any form of exercise or yoga, I always considered now in hindsight that that would have been like my meditation period. It was like my mommy time out at that time is what I used to call it. That and wine, no, I'm kidding, Mario. Yeah. But that would be, you know, my moment to be able to just reflect, how should I respond and how should I not respond? You know, what do I do? And that helped me a lot. It helped me a lot. And I actually had gotten that advice from a friend of mine who had said, you know, can you do something? Can you pick something for 10 minutes that is your 15 minutes, your hobby, your passion, something to just remove yourself from whatever space or room you're in. Find that retreat, whatever it is, whatever space that might be. It could be your garden, and do that, clear your head to come back. And that's why I really always thought that I gained a lot of knowledge in that space. And I continue to do the same thing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know? Excellent. I would anticipate that your relationship with Lauren kind of has, you know, kind of been up and down throughout this, through the struggles and things. And then you chose to bring her on as a business partner. Can you speak a little bit to your relationship with her?
Yeah. And I think it's so funny. I think now as a mature, beautiful woman that she is at 27 and not a high schooler any longer, sometimes you realize that it's not just that issue that makes you different, right? We are different people. You raise all these kids, right, Maura, and none of them are the same. They're all very, very different. So we have different ways of doing things. And for me, it's just being able to really recognize who she is and what her strengths are. And she has so many, and allowing her to move in that direction and bring those strengths, and not then caring that she does the ones that aren't necessarily her strong suit. And that's the part then that I do. So it really works out beautifully for us.
Yeah. Well, you do have a beautiful partnership, and again, have created a beautiful business and together. And, you know, I've learned throughout the years that there's sometimes we have to see the other side of the notebook, right? We have to see how we see things, but certainly like with a child, with a spouse, the partner, we sometimes have to see the way they see things, you know, and like you said, seeing Lauren for her strengths, and even if they're perhaps, you know, different than yours, you know, just I think respecting each other for each, you know, for who we are as people. Yeah. Well, you know, I could talk with you for hours, but I'm going to wrap this podcast up and just ask you, you know, any last words of what you'd like to share about kind of things you've learned in this journey, or just something to leave with our listeners.
Thanks so much for allowing me to share this conversation with you. It's been wonderful. And I feel like, you know, as our daughters and our children get a little bit older, we end up going on the other side a little bit, right? Where we realize we're not responsible just to fix and react. And as adults, I think we could take a lesson from that, knowing that we should probably have treated them more like adults when they were and they were younger, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Pathetic. But thank you so much, Maura. This has been wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you, Debbie. And if anybody ever is in Wheaton or Elmhurst, Illinois, look up Next Yoga. It's a wonderful place to go and practice yoga and create that space for you. Again, thank you, Debbie. Thank you, listeners, for coming back. And again, continue to take care of yourselves and those that you love around you. And be kind to yourself. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Do you feel like your juggling of your chaos is just too much and you want to reclaim your life and health? I'm here to help. I offer free 30-minute consultations where I can show you simple steps to help you get back on track. If you're interested, please connect with me. You can do that simply by reaching out on Instagram and send me a DM at @GreenGorski or email me at Moira@GorskiWellness.com. Moira spelled M-O-Y-R-A. I look forward to hearing from you, and take care.